giving up size, you have to go out there and come out there with the right type of energy. Oh. And speaking of the right type of energy, Jalen Brunson right down the lane for the floater.
He burrows in for another couple. He's got 36. He's flexing. Mavericks fans having a fit.
Defenseman pumping his fist after that call at midcourt.
Oh, nice crossover. Brunson around Conley. He scores for any game, playoffs or regular season. It's a career high for Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson last night saves the day for the Dallas Mavericks without their star player Luka Doncic for the second straight game in the best of seven series between the Mavericks and the Jazz in Dallas last night. Brunson with 41 points, 6 3-pointers, and the Jazz failed to take a 2-0 lead without the Mavericks playing with their best player who was on the bench with a calf strain. Mavericks even the series 110-104 last night. Series shifts back to Utah. The Mavericks were 22 of 47 from three. They made 17 uncontested threes in the win over the Jazz, the most by any team in the last 10 years in the NBA playoffs. That includes 7 of Max Kleber's 8 3-pointers. And the Mavericks get it done with the career-high 41 from Jalen Brunson. Of course, Jalen Brunson was an outstanding player at Villanova. I saw him light up the Jayhawks in 2018, as did everybody that shot the ball against KU. 2018 in the Final Four in San Antonio. So the Mavericks get it done last night in even that series. Also, the Warriors won 126-106 over the Nuggets in Game 2. They're up 2-0. Steph Curry, 34 points, 5 threes off the bench. But the guy you really need to talk about, Jordan Poole. 29 points, 5 3-pointers. He's becoming a star, as if the Warriors need another star player. They already have Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins is an all-star, Steph Curry. And now they got Jordan Poole, who's playing like Steph Curry. I was watching the game, the Warriors are down 43-31. And once you blinked, it was 16-0 run. It was just like that. The game was over. It was insane. The guys, they share the ball so well, Golden State does. And they have the lethal lineup right now. There is no answer for the Nuggets. That's Draymond Green at the 5, Andrew Wiggins, former Jayhawk, at the 4. You got Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson at the 3. Steph Curry is really, in essence, the 1, and Poole's the 2. And that's a smaller lineup, but Green has been able to really, really frustrate Jokic. As Charles Barkley said last night, when you are the MVP last year and probably going to MVP this year, and you're 6'11", playing against a 6'6 guy, you can't let this happen. And Kenny Smith's like, well, but Draymond Green's been 3-time defense player of the year. Charles like, don't matter. And I agree with Charles. You're 4 inches taller, 5 inches taller. You should not struggle all the time. And he doesn't struggle all the time. He had a pretty good first game statistically. But Green is making him work for everything that he gets, and he's laboring. And the Nuggets just don't have enough firepower to beat the Warriors. It's pretty obvious watching the first two games. If they had Jamal Murray, perhaps they would. And then also last night, the 76ers are up 2-0. They beat the Raptors 112-97, former Jayhawk. Joel Embiid, 31 points and 11 rebounds in the game. Raptors, Fred VanVleet, former Shocker, had a great first quarter and then cooled down considerably. And the Raptors without two key players last night, including possibly the Rookie of the Year and Scotty Barnes. So the Raptors are shorthanded as they're down 2-0 in that series. The NBA tonight, 3 more games. The Heat will have game 2 at the Hawks. They lead 1-0, 6:30 tonight in Miami. In the West, it'll be the Grizzlies trying to even their series against the Timberwolves, game 2 in Memphis at 7:30. And the Suns will try to take a 2-0 lead on the Pelicans with game 2 in Phoenix tonight at 9 o'clock. The Pelicans started the year 1-12, but made the playoffs. Believe it or not, there's a team that started worse that made the playoffs. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
You know what organization it was? They started 0-13 and made the playoffs. The Phoenix Suns. Oddly enough, the Phoenix Suns started a year 0-13.
I definitely did not.
Made the playoffs. You know what's crazy about that? They ended with a winning record.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that might have been 40-42, but they were 40-29 down the stretch and made the playoffs. They were 0-13, made the playoffs. Pelicans were 1-12, made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Of course, they wouldn't have if there wouldn't have been a play-in tournament. All right, local sports, Dusty.
Yeah, local yesterday, the Republic County Golf Invitational. Concordia finished in first place as a team. Southeast Saline was second. Smith Center third. Individually, Ian Flores from Clay Center shot an 80 and got first place. Also from Concordia, Lewis Van Meter was second. And Mason Tissell of Smith Center and Caleb Burks Bullitt tied for sixth place. You can find the full results from that event at ncksports.com. Coming up today, we have track and field. The Republic County Lions Club Invitational in Belleville starts at 10 o'clock this morning. Beloit, Rock Hills, Pike Valley, and Concordia are competing in that one. Also, the Wilson Invitational at Russell for today has been postponed, and they've moved that to next Tuesday, April 26th. We just got that date this morning. So Lakeside, Tipton, Lincoln, and Sylvan Lucas will be going to Russell next Tuesday instead of today. Also in high school golf, the MPL meet and down scheduled for 3 o'clock this afternoon. Concordia Golf is at Abilene today starting at 9 o'clock, just underway this morning. And then in baseball and softball, Lincoln Sylvan Lucas at Ellis and baseball at 4 o'clock. And then Sylvan Lucas Lincoln also at Ellis and softball. And then in the NCKL, Concordia at Chapman at 4:30 in both baseball and softball doubleheaders here this afternoon. Again, NCKLSports.com, your home for all local sports in north central Kansas.
Had more baseball last night because can't get enough baseball in my family. There's just, I'm honest, this is the first time in, I think, a year and a half that we have 2 days in a row no baseball, tonight and tomorrow night. I don't know what to do with myself. I think I'm going to watch Hangover 3 times.
We'll feel dusty on that joke in a moment. That's a little bit of a minor segue.
I guess it would tie into the morning show, the question that I saw on Facebook.
Right. It does.
And if you watch enough baseball over time, you may want to participate and be a member of the Hangover. 24-1 is what I witnessed last night. JV baseball, Beloit baseball, beat Wilson 24-1, and that's with a run cap each inning. I felt sorry for Wilson because they just had a heck of a time, you know, catching it and throwing it and everything else. But it was interesting because my youngest son and his friend, he spent the night the other night because they didn't have school on Monday, and they brought a wiffle bat and a wiffle ball and bases, and there's plenty of room there behind the field there at the high school for Beloit. And we were watching towards the end, more people were watching the wiffle ball game, and then some of the high schoolers got involved. The varsity players that weren't playing JV got involved, which was kind of fun. And we turned and we were watching the wiffle ball game, and we were driving back, and the boys were in the car with me, and I said, you know, I just can't wait till people ask me, when are you going to call play-by-play Wade of wiffle ball? I'm like, maybe it might be more exciting. I don't know. So anyway, it was exciting for Beloit to win 24-1, but even though it's not that exciting. You know how it is. A blowout in sports, it's not exciting. We say it all the time on the radio. We always want close games no matter who plays. And then, of course, parents want to win by, 1,000, so they don't have to sweat it or anything. So that segues into my youngest son. He says the darndest things. You know the show, the kids say the darndest things. So let's go back to baseball. Saturday, we had a baseball tournament in Salina, and the last team that we played, they were called the Salina Astros. And the Astros were the same color scheme as the Houston Astros back in the day, the three different colors across the chest. You remember that? They're like the orange and the yellow and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, apparently, after the second game, the Astros are warming up to play us for the third game, and so we had a little bit of a break. We told the boys, you can go see your mom, your dad, your grandma and grandpa. You can go to the bathroom, whatever. So my youngest goes down and talks to mom, which is my wife, by the way. Anyway, goes down, talks to mom, and mom apparently said, and this is my 8-year-old coming back and telling me the story back in the dugout, which was pretty funny. So he goes, hey, Dad, I went down, I talked to mom. I'm like, okay. Yeah, she says she really likes those Astros uniforms. And she likes the color of those. I said, yeah. And he goes, I told mom they're a bunch of cheaters. He's right.
Even that team was a bunch of cheaters, right?
Yes.
You see, if you're associated with the name Astros, it's over for you.
Yeah. So anybody that understands baseball and understands what the Astros have done in big league baseball, you get that joke. If you don't know the history of the Astros and what they've done recently, you don't get that joke. And my wife didn't exactly get the joke right off the bat, I don't believe. So then I told our coaches that's what he said. They started rolling. So then I go over to I coach in third base, and I'm over next to the Astros dugout. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the any later in the game, and I said, hey guys, I want to hear something funny. And I shared that story with them, and they just started rolling. And then one of the coaches said, well, we might win more if we cheated more. And I'm like, cheated more? You cheated. So that was pretty funny. So kids say the darndest things. He's 8. And then last night after the JV game, we're out shooting baskets, and he goes, Dad, want to play a little 1v1? I'm like, sure, why not? I'm in my Skechers, but yeah, let's do it. So we play 1v1, and I usually let him win. People are saying, yeah, right, Wade. But no, I do. And we go back and forth playing, and he chucks one, and he misses it completely. And I didn't even say a word. You know what he says? He goes, pull to Westbrook. Russell Westbrook shooting the brick from three. He airballed. He's like, pull to Westbrook. I just started dying laughing. I'm like, that is absolutely an accurate assessment. And I'm thinking I might, you know, when I do a little play-by-play coming up for basketball season, I think all three of us might need to incorporate the old, shot an airball. Oh, shot a Westbrook. Pull to Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook used to be one of my favorite players at the Thunder, but
he's
doesn't
start
fit
calling
the
him Westbrook. Coming
Westbrook,
up.
Oh, there's a good one.
Oh man,
I like that.
It's gonna
Westbrook.
I feel
for
bad because I used to. I used to love watching Russell Westbrook play, and I can't defend it anymore. I mean, I tried for a while. Yeah. I can't defend it anymore. But it's too bad. It's too bad. I feel bad for him. But
Listen, he's got to be with a team that he can handle the ball. Like, I mean, just a year ago, he was averaging triple double. For the Wizards. Mm-hmm. So we know he still can play. But the thing is, that fit what he does. But he doesn't fit a team that depends on ball movement and being a spot-up shooter. It was, you know, in fairness to Russell Westbrook, you know, he did not play well this year, no doubt. But it was a horrible fit, and it still is. And it's too bad that he stuck with the Lakers. It's too bad the Lakers didn't trade him, because it would have been the best thing that ever happened to Russell Westbrook was to be traded. And I know Westbrook wants to win a championship, but it ain't going to happen. Westbrook has got to be on a team where he dominates the ball, he gets his stats, and yes, his team might make the playoffs. And remember last year, the Wizards started off horribly, record-wise, made the playoffs. But then you go to L.A., it just doesn't work, and we all saw it coming. But and so it's I feel kind of dirty when I say, you know, Westbrook or Westbrook, you know, pulled a, you know, shot an air ball. That's a Westbrook. Because in fairness, he's not in the right system at all. It doesn't fit him at all. I mean, it would like be putting Patrick Mahomes in a run-dominated offense and handing the ball off. It won't work. It doesn't fit. At the same time, he's also throwing his coach under the bus and talking about he didn't believe in me, didn't have enough chances. Dude, there's a four-minute montage I share with you guys where he's bricking and dropping the ball and missing dunks and layups. It wasn't even three-pointers. He was a mess this year, and I hope he figures it out, because I hear he's not that bad of a guy at all, but I always love his competitive spirit and nature. But anyway, my 8-year-old said he pulled it was a Westbrook.
Really good for an 8-year-old.
Not bad.
More
clever than me.
The last game toward the end of the year that the Lakers played in San Antonio, there were Spurs fans yelling Westbrook at him, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Just calling him Westbrook. Yeah. And like, he stopped. Like, he was at the free throw line for they were shooting a free throw. He's on the lane line. He turned around. He was yelling at the fans, like, stop disrespecting my name and this. And I'm like, you're disrespecting your own name now,
that's
dude.
That's part of heckling.
Yeah.
It's part of heckling.
It's like, this is going to happen. I think I'd just let that go. That's not like it's a derogatory.
Listen, if it's racist things and terms and, you know, saying horrible things about maybe family members, I get the players getting all mad. But, you know, Westbrook, I mean, they're just playing off your name.
It's not the first guy to call you Westbrook, I promise.
I guarantee you that. Right. We're going to talk Patrick Mahomes. We're here from Patrick Mahomes here in just a little bit about the trade of Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. Plus, Mahomes is going to play some golf on national TV. The Royals will be back in action. And we'll tell you about a Major League Baseball player in his first at bat against a team he played for 12 years, hit a home run against them in his first at bat. And also big news coming out of Intrust Bank Arena in Wichita that you might be interested in. But first, we want to get to the most important part of the show. And that is, what was your Facebook question today, Jason?
It was, what is your favorite movie, and how many times have you watched it? Because we had the Guinness Book of World Records just broken. Somebody watched a movie in the theater 292 times.
Oh, wow.
So,
and it was a recent movie.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Spider-Man. Not the one that they watched.
The last Spider-Man, whatever the title of that one is. But
No Way Home.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you do that? You just keep going back to back to back?
Yeah. Yeah. He said he went five times.
Because, I mean, they're not showing it 292 days in a row, right?
No.
He travels to nearby towns as well, I guess. Well, I told Jason I'd bet him $5. I know Dusty's answer, but we'll see.
That's a lot of money, too.
It said $3,500.
Wow. Yeah. $5, a lot of money? I just said, Oh, you told the other.
I'm about to spend a lot of money.
Dusty didn't even hear me on that one, did he?
I did not.
Yeah. I bet Jason earlier $5. I know what your answer is going to be to this question.
Oh, I heard that part. Oh, okay. But I was saying.
Then you said a lot of money, and I'm like, what?
No,
$5?
I meant to watch Spider-Man that many times.
Now
I'm about to spend a lot of money on my favorite movie here coming up at the end of April, beginning of May, going to a Frightmare weekend in Texas. I was actually going to answer your question on Facebook, but I couldn't get off of the Katy Country 94 page when I was trying to comment on it. Okay. So Wade knows my favorite movie, Scream.
There you go. Good thing we didn't shake on it.
Now, the... I have no idea on the other part of the question, because if I'm being generous, I've seen it at least twice a year since it came out.
Okay.
But
what
I
year,
watched
do you remember
that.
What year it came out?
1996.
Okay, so 26 years. So 50 over 50 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so, but that's being very, very generous, because when I was like a sophomore and junior in high school, I was watching probably about once a week. So
watching the same movie once a week?
Yeah. Yeah. I just, when I'd be bored at night, I'd just pop. We didn't have these, right?
Like, yeah, true.
I wasn't on my phone the whole time.
There was another movie in the collection?
Well, I didn't, at that point in time, I didn't own as many movies as I do now, obviously, yeah. And I didn't have a lot of movies, but right. I wore that screen VHS out like it.
Well, you know.
So, I'm being generous when I say I've probably seen it at least 100 times.
Google VHS, kids.
Yes. Audio cassettes, 8-tracks, things like that, even CDs, as the way we're going. So you believe you watch Scream probably once a week. You think you're special. There's a guy in this room that watched the same movie 3 times in 1 week.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Hangover came out. We had a plan to go opening night. Yeah, so our group goes, and, you know, I enjoyed it. It was a really good movie. In fact, I really liked it.
You liked it so much you went 3 times in a week.
But then, like, a couple nights later, some other friend group, like, hey, some of us are going to this movie. You want to go? And I'm just kind of spontaneous. I'm like, all right, I don't have anything to do. Sure, why not? So, went and watched it a second time. I thought that would be it. But then later that weekend or whatever, yeah, it was a weekend, my brother had his niece was born. So I, you know, different town, it wasn't where I was living, so I could drive to where the niece is born, go visit. And then the mom side of the family started coming in, and it was getting crowded, so I left, and I thought I'd go back later. So I needed some time to kill. Ate some lunch, but I'm like, that's not enough time. And so
depends on how big the lunch is.
So then I'm like, well, I'll go see if there's a movie at the theater that I want to go see. And I get there, and the only one that's worth, you know, I didn't want to see anything else. And so I still needed to kill this time, so I went and watched an afternoon matinee of The Hangover again for the third time. Only one in the theater, which it ruins a comic. I mean, like, it doesn't ruin it, but, you know.
How bad were the other movies as options if you chose to watch
know.
The same
I don't
one
know.
3
were,
times
yeah.
in a 7-day span? That's insane, man.
There's some of those, man. In this day and age, too, it's like, I don't. Some of these movies that are coming out, I'm like, I don't know what that is. I have no idea why I would want to watch it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But there's obviously some that are. But yeah, I probably would have decided on The Hangover a third time as well.
This cracks me up.
I did. When the new Scream came out, I went on Friday night when it came to Beloit. And I was like, it was Saturday, and I'm like, I'm done with everything I need to do. I'm going to go back, because I watched it 2 nights in a row, because I was like, I need to see what I missed last night when I was watching it first time, because I wanted to see what was in there that I didn't catch the first time around.
I did go
2 nights in a row to Scream when the new one when it came
two
out.
Two seems normal to me.
I didn't go to three. I cut it. I didn't go back Sunday.
I do get why people think three is weird, but I'm just saying the third one was just a circumstance. It wasn't a conscious choice until I got to the theater, and I'm like, I don't want to see, you know, whatever it was, but.
Yeah, I've never watched a movie 3 times in a week. I haven't watched a movie the same movie each week. I've not done any of that. I have not watched a movie 292 times in the span of 7 months or whatever it is this guy's done. Don't know how much money he spent. When Jason told me that, I said, is this a local person? He said, no. I said, good. Now I can say what I want to say.
Yeah.
I said, does that person not have a life? I mean, to watch a movie turn 92 times, I wanted to blow away the Guinness Book of World Records. And the fact that we have a record for that is just absolutely silly, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder Spider-Man did so well at the box office. This guy paid $1 million to see it turn 292 times.
I can see a guy like just putting it on a loop if you own the movie, right? Yeah. But to spend that much on a ticket every single time just to set a record.
Here's an idea. Just buy the DVD and watch it over and over. Yeah. And then just have somebody from the Guinness Book of World Records verify it like they do for Dude Perfect.
Yeah.
Bring those people in.
I mean, I'm at a point in my life where I can watch Scream wherever I go.
That's true.
It's on my phone,
true.
Right?
That's
like,
true.
And so it's like, I
It'd be
get
harder
that,
to document but, the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah,
in there. That's
but that's
whatever.
Wild.
Yeah, really is. Really, really is. Let's see, interesting tweet I just discovered here. DeMarcus Cousins, who is with the Nuggets now, played for the Sacramento Kings. Here's a DeMarcus Cousins was quoted of saying, apparently, "What did Sacktown, Sacramento, do for me? Besides say my name on draft day, I did more for them than they did for me. That's just being honest, just being 100% honest. I had two owners, three GMs, seven coaches in 7 years. I was there 7 years. George Karl, didn't he coach at Sacramento at one point? I remember. I thought he did.
I want to say he did, but I'm not 100%
sure. Not for
sure.
Anyway, George Karl goes, paid you approximately $50 million and gave you the opportunity to play professional basketball for a living? Hmm? What did Sacramento do for you? They gave you $50 million to play professional basketball. I think they did something quite well for you, and that is set you up for life. But, hey, they didn't do anything for DeMarcus Cousins. You talk about being ungrateful, you know what? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he didn't exactly do much for Sacramento either. Like that, I don't know. They weren't like...
I mean, and he was a really good player at Sacramento. He was
he was a good
what
I'm
machine,
saying
but
is
it didn't
like,
turn into the team success.
Yeah.
If he's obviously, like, seven coaches, seven years, they weren't exactly tearing
exactly.
it up.
They weren't 15-16 George Karl.
It's a classic meet in the middle. You got what you wanted. You got your first contract. You got your first $50 million there. You know, if you want to say it turned out to be hard because you had seven coaches and seven GMs, that's fine too.
Right.
But, you know. He did get his money.
George Karl
did
get his
coach chance.
There. Yeah, I said that right as Jason was starting to talk.
Right.
To, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, that was pretty good. I want to see if there's anything else that he said there. No, he just took his shot, George Karl, and it's a fair shot. Absolutely. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And that's the type of players that you really can't – I don't want to cheer for. Those are the type of players that forgot where they came from. Those are the type of players that apparently just think that money grows on trees and somebody – they just happen to find it in the street. The Sacramento Kings took a chance drafting him. He had issues at Kentucky, all right? He did. He had some emotional issues. He was a hothead at Kentucky. Still is a hothead. And so, but to say that, you know, what did they do for you besides say my name on draft day? They also wrote you a check every other week and paid you when you were hurt, I'm sure, and probably paid for your rehabilitation when you were hurt. Yeah. But, you know, what they do for you? That's ridiculous.
Nobody's ever accused Boogie of being like a team player or a good guy as far as that part's concerned.
No. And you wonder why fans get sour about professional athletes. This is an example. And he's the minority, not the majority. But this is the type of attitude that turns fans off, at least for me. It makes me sick as I read it. It's ridiculous. And I love George Karl going right at him saying, you know what? They wrote you a $50 million check. But hey, whatever. Patrick Mahomes... Andy Reid was talking about this. Patrick Mahomes has been having workouts with his new receivers in Texas. And they've been doing virtual meetings, but trusting Mahomes to get all the guys together to throw down in Texas. And it just shows the trust that Andy Reid has in Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes was quoted of saying here recently that there are balls that I think are bad passes that are being caught. Well, now he's got taller receivers. Because, I mean, Byron Pringle wasn't a super tall receiver. Obviously, Tyreek Hill was like 5'10". And so he's got Juju's a little bigger. Obviously, Scantling is big at 6'4". You're working with these different guys. And so Patrick Mahomes, it is funny how people jump to conclusions like, oh, well, Mahomes must have been really so mad when Tyreek Hill was traded. No. In fact, the Chiefs, and this is why the Chiefs are one of the best organizations in football, is that they have good leadership. And in order to be a great organization and in order to win championships, you have to have tremendous leadership. You know, the teams that you see it in the National Football League, you see it in the NBA, you see it in Major League Baseball, the teams that continue moving and shuffling people in the front office and their managers or their coaches don't really do that well, do they? You know, I'll give you an example. The Lakers didn't even tell their coach they were firing him. They threw him under the bus, even though LeBron helped put the team together. and they threw him under the bus. And this is a guy that is very established and won a championship for the Lakers, by the way. But apparently you don't need a coach to win a title if LeBron's on your team. You know, it's just he just stands there and does nothing. And so it's like, why did they ever hire a head coach in the first place? Once they brought in LeBron, just make him head coach and player. Bill Russell did it. Why can't LeBron do it? So you end up having a situation where they throw him under the bus and he's not treated right. The Chiefs, meanwhile, could easily not tell Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce about, hey, we're going to trade Hill or we're thinking about trading Hill. They don't have to tell him, technically. They really don't. They really, truly don't. You know, now, it would be probably wise of Brett Veach to tell Andy Reid that they're going to trade Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's what usually happens. Although we know there are breakdowns in communication where GMs and coaches don't even get along, like Marty Schottenheimer back in the day with the Chargers. We know Brian Flores didn't get along with his owner and then upper management in Miami, eventually got fired, so forth and so on. But in this situation, the Chiefs, they talked to Mahomes and Kelce during this whole process. They weren't completely caught off guard like the fans, which, by the way, they don't need to tell us because they'll leak everything. So here is Patrick Mahomes being asked his first real public comments in regards to, hey, he put stuff on Twitter about, hey, let's roll and we appreciate Tyreek. But his first spoken comments that I've heard talking about losing Tyreek Hill and moving forward without Tyreek after he was traded to the Dolphins. Here's Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously my initial reaction was a little bit of shock. I mean, even though you knew that this was a possibility, just playing with the guy that you've played and built a friendship with over the last 6 years, it definitely was something that you didn't want him to leave, more for the just being able to hang out in the locker room and do that stuff than the actual on-the-field stuff. But you're happy for him, man. I mean, he got a great contract. Obviously, he's back where he has a house in the offseason around a lot of his family and stuff like that. And I wish the best for him. And then for me, it was just, we got to keep rolling. That's just kind of how it is in this league. Is it's a business as much as it is about your friendships and stuff like that. And so we know that in order to have success in this league, you have to keep evolving and keep getting better. And so I got with these new receivers as quickly as possible and try to build that so that we could have success right when we get going this year.
Mahomes always says the right things, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he acts like he's been in this league as long as Tom Brady. I mean, and he says the right things. I mean, he says, and what's crazy is he's probably more mature than Aaron Rodgers in some ways. I mean, I'm so impressed by the way he handles himself. I mean, he has every right in the world, not right, but he has every reason in the world to get this gigantic ego. He has every right in the world to start to be controversial and push a whole bunch of agendas. He doesn't. I mean, you know, he's true to what he believes. He, you know, he goes out and he has fun with his family, his wife, and you know the stuff that people throw at his new wife now, which is he's been his high school sweetheart for years, of course, Brittany, is ridiculous. The people in Kansas City, and not just Kansas City, but the people in general say the mean things towards his wife. It's just flat out just those people are, I don't want to say they're worthless, but they're close. You don't even know the person. You've never met the person. And she's sharing pictures, you know, that she can do. Like any other person that shares stuff on social media. And Patrick shares stuff on social media. And I'm surprised that Patrick and his wife haven't just said, you know what, the hell with all of you. And we're not even going to post anything. And then people will be like, oh, no, they're not being part of the community. I mean, no matter what they do, they're going to be questioned and criticized, especially her, because they see her as, well, Patrick could do better than his high school sweetheart. He's got all this. It's like, why do you care? Patrick has the love of his life, and hopefully it works out. And they worked well together. His wife is a part owner of a soccer team in Kansas City. She's done very well in the business world herself. And it's not like she's riding on the coattails of Patrick Mahomes. And now they have a beautiful child together. And you see all this vile that people throw out at them. And it's like, what did they do to you? Other than they're sharing some, they're giving you a little bit of a peek in their lives. Celebrities do this all the time. And it's not like they're shoving it down your throat. And you may say, well, what is she wearing? Or why is Mahomes doing this? Or, oh, Mahomes looks like he was inebriated at his wedding. Who, boy, is he the first one to do that? Because all these Chiefs fans thought it was funny when he shotgunned a beer on a float down Kansas City when they won the Super Bowl. Everybody was retweeting and replaying the video. Man, Mahomes is my quarterback. He caught a beer and shotgunned it and threw it down, but then he drinks a little too much but didn't drive, which you're allowed to do as of an adult, and he has a little fun at his wedding reception, and people talk about how he drank. Why do you care? You're allowed to do that. You think it's great when he does it in a Super Bowl parade in front of you, but he can't do it at his own wedding. And then his wife has a good time. And, oh, she sprayed champagne after a win. Nobody below her complained about that. But people that watch it go, oh, that's inconsiderate. But you weren't there. You were sitting on your barca launcher eating Funyuns, okay? You don't even know. It's just amazing people and their comments about stuff where they have no clue what they're talking about. And so what I love about Patrick Mahomes is, you know, you just said it. Russell Westbrook got riled up because of Westbrook, okay? You know Mahomes has been heckled before in college, in high school, I'm sure, college, obviously in the pro. If he goes to Denver, he goes to Vegas, wherever he goes, he gets made fun of. I'm sure if he goes to Cincinnati, they go, ha ha, we beat you, you know, blah, blah, blah. People, there are a lot of people that are Mahomes'd out, and that's really, they are. They're tired of Mahomes already. We said that would happen after his first year in the league, it would happen. Just like people get tired of Tom Brady, get tired of Aaron Rodgers, so forth and so on. Eventually, people get tired of Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. If they keep doing great stuff, we'll eventually get tired of it, and we start to tear people down. That's what society does. We build people up, and we love to tear them down. And even your national media networks do the same thing. ESPN's very, very guilty of it. And so I just am amazed that he's 26 years of age, and honestly, he's more mature than I am. I'm 46. He's probably more mature than I am. He's more level-headed than I am. He has a child now. Now he married his high school sweetheart. They've been together for years, and he has a great coach to play for. He has a great organization to play for. He's got a very good owner. He's got a great GM. He's got teammates that respect the you-know-what out of him. He's just a born leader, in my opinion, and it helped having his dad in the big leagues and understanding all of that. But and there will be a point in time where I'm sure Mahomes will misspeak or say something that'll upset somebody and actually maybe stir something up. It's bound to happen if you talk enough. But the guy, I can't think of any misstep Patrick Mahomes has said. He hasn't come out and said, like LeBron, well, the season wasn't a failure. Right. I mean, Mahomes is smart enough not to say something that silly. It's just amazing to me. Like, Tyreek Hill gets traded. What would be your first reaction, probably? God, that sucks. I want Tyreek Hill on my team. And quietly, I'm sure he talked about his wife, or he talked about it with the guys and saying, Andy, man, coach, I'd love to have Tyreek back. And they explained, well, here's our situation, guys. If we pay him all this money, it's going to hurt us from winning championships in the future. Do we want to have multiple chances at Super Bowls? Are we going to be all in and hamstrung ourselves on a 28-year-old wide receiver? And Mahomes is smart enough to understand the business side, as he just pointed out, and so is Travis Kelce. And there will be a time, probably 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, God willing, Mahomes, you know, still healthy and playing good football, where there's going to be a day where Mahomes is going to have to talk about Travis Kelce either leaving or retiring, because Mahomes is going to play longer than Travis Kelce, odds are. And that's going to be bittersweet and tough to deal with. But it happens. That's what happens in sports. We love Eric Hosmer, and then eventually we knew he was going to leave, right? We love Mike Moustakas. We knew eventually he was going to leave. I mean, those things, we knew Lorenzo Cain was eventually going to leave. Alcides Escobar was going to leave. We eventually knew that these great players that we love are going to get eventually older, like Wade Davis and Greg Holland. The Kansas City Chiefs, they have to retool. It's not rebuilding, it's retooling. And so they spun one of their best players to a team that really wanted him. They gave a lot of draft capital. They save a lot of money on the cap. And Mahomes understands it. But he's being honest. He said, yeah, I was in a little bit of shock. Even though they were given a heads up, it's still like, oh, I hadn't sunk in yet. I just lost a guy that I've thrown 343 passes to. That's my deep threat that opens up the field. And I've played with him my whole entire career. And now I don't have that guy. Yeah, it is a bit of a shock, I'm sure. But he just handles it so well. You listen to him. He doesn't get all riled up and emotional, all mad about anything. He doesn't throw anybody under the bus like Russell Westbrook or LeBron James. He doesn't, you know, he has a great organization, unlike the Lakers. You know, Andy Reid's going to get fired. I guarantee Andy's going to find out from the Chiefs before the social media world. I'll guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. All right? Frank Vogel wins a championship. Frank Vogel's won as many championships as Andy Reid's won. Think about that for a second. And Frank Vogel is treated like dirt. Not supposed to be a classy Laker organization, won 17 titles. The Chiefs have a better organization than the Lakers. They're more well-run. They treat people with more respect. They handle things very well. And, you know, Tyrann Mathieu has come out and said stuff about how he didn't feel appreciated. He was under contract. All right, you signed a 3-year contract. Your job is to fulfill your contract. You could feel, like, upset that they didn't talk to you about a contract extension, but you also got some red flags in your career. And then he talked – I even said something about how he really didn't – it sounded like he played – all out sometimes, which you could see it. He didn't try to hit people like he used to. Well, that might have prevented the Chiefs from making it to the Super Bowl because of that attitude. And that's a guy I don't want on the team anymore. I mean, I appreciate Matthew's honesty. He's an emotional guy. Patrick Mahomes ain't going to say stuff like that.
No.
I just love Mahomes and respect him for all that stuff.
You haven't seen the sideline blow up yet, really, no. From Mahomes. And well, he, you know, we don't
he's
think of it.
People up, but yeah. He hasn't been mad. Yeah,
right. We don't think of it, but he's in this now 4 or 5 years. So he's seen other teammates go. He's seen trades. He's seen all that. So he's seen some things. And I think having a professional, even though it's a different sport, a professional as his father, I don't know if they had, you know, he sat him down and had the talk and said, hey, you know,
he was in clubhouses. Yeah. He saw how people worked with each other. Right. He saw what good leadership and bad leadership was.
Enjoy your teammates while they're there, because you can't guarantee that they're going to be there forever.
Treat them with respect.
Yeah, and the Hill trade happened fast, but there's nothing that says Tyreek didn't send a text or a call and say, "Hey, Pat, this is kind of what's going on. I don't know. You know, for every trade that goes through, there's 10 rumors. You know, usually And so there might have been a little shock, but we don't know that Tyreek Hill didn't give them a heads up too on what was going on. And so, and now some time has passed, so all these people have had a chance to cool. So it doesn't surprise me at all that Mahomes gives a pretty, pretty good quote, pretty solid, you know, non-emotional quote about the whole thing. And you're right. I think he's one of the good ones, and I think we should cherish him more. If the only thing he's done wrong is lose a couple playoff games, well, holy cow. Like, you just
one was because his defense.
Yeah, you just don't get through. Tom Brady has lost playoff games.
Yes.
Peyton Manning lost playoff games. You just if you are going to be one of those top guys, you just don't get through unscathed.
That's right.
If the worst thing that Brittany has done, there was one thing I thought she said was a little self-unaware. Like, it was after the champagne thing, I think she said something along the lines of, I wish I could just do whatever I want and not get any criticism. Well you can't do that.
True, but I understand what she's saying.
Yeah, I understand. And if the... Your
she's
reaction
human being.
Can't escalate.
Right.
So okay, if you wanna eye roll at Brittany and Patrick's brother's TikToks, those are eye roll situations.
Sure, right.
If
but that's
you don't
not
like
Mahomes doing it.
Right. And so you don't yell nasty things, you don't tweet nasty things, you don't message nasty things to those people. You just let it go.
Yeah.
You just eye roll and roll with it. Yeah. It's just
that would be the easy way to do it, but that's too easy, apparently. So now Mahomes is going to play a national golf match, which is interesting. June the 1st, it was a pro with a quarterback. Mickelson has played in this last couple of years, and Brady and Rogers played last year, but they had a golf pro with them. Was it DeChambeau?
Yeah.
I think so.
I can't remember. I think
it was
Brady
Mickelson.
Played with Mickelson and Rogers and DeChambeau, if I remember right.
Well, this year it's going all quarterbacks. And so Mahomes is going to be part of this year's Capital One's The Match. It's an annual golf event now, and it's going to be at all quarterbacks at the Wynn in Las Vegas Golf Course. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, the old guys, they're old. Brady's old. We'll face Mahomes and Josh Allen in the 12-hole exhibition that will take place on June 1st. In Las Vegas. First of all, I think it should be a 13-hole exhibition to represent the 13 seconds that the Chiefs rallied and tied the game against the Bills. But hey, whatever.
I don't know if Josh will agree.
No, probably not. They were talking to me. You know, Brady and Manning were playing against each other, and they ribbed each other quite a bit back and forth about things.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be interesting to see how far Mahomes, because Mahomes does rib people, and he's a pretty good little roaster. It'd be interesting to see what he does to Allen, because Allen's a really super nice guy, too. He's done a lot of great things. But I think those two are going to have a lot of fun ribbing Brady and Rodgers. And Mahomes said, yeah, they may get us on the par threes, but we're going to show the old guys how the courses run when they're going to be bombing it. You know, of course, are they bombing at OB or are they going to bomb it right down the fairway? I don't know. So it should be very, very interesting. Mahomes and Josh Allen, against Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And you think about it, Mahomes owns Allen because the Bills haven't been able – they beat the Chiefs once in the regular season, but I think Allen's 1-3 against the Chiefs and 0-2 in the playoffs. And then you got Brady versus – and Rodgers are teammates, and Rodgers can't beat Brady in the biggest games when they do play him. Of course, there haven't been a lot of opportunities because Brady was in the, obviously, the AFC, but obviously Brady's won a lot more rings, 7 to Rodgers' 1. So it'd be very interesting. You know, that's the one they could have fun. Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady can at least shine a ring in front of Josh Allen. Allen don't have one yet. So it could be fun how they go about it. And I'm sure some fan from Buffalo or some fan from Green Bay or some fan from Kansas City or some fan from Tampa Bay will be offended by somebody razzing each other because, you know, we wouldn't want to have thick skin or anything. You going to watch it?
Doubtful.
I'll watch it if I happen to be in front of TV and remember.
Yeah,
I'll watch. I want to watch a little bit of it. I will because Mahomes is in it. I will.
It won't
because that guy can. He can bomb it off the tee.
It won't be appointment viewing, but it'll be.
No, you're busy watching The Hangover.
Right,
I get it.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, I got that scheduled for that day. So and then two more times later that week.
Dusty will be busy watching Scream. You'll be busy watching Hangover, and I'll be the one being current and up to date and fill you in on a golf match.
Right,
I'll
right.
see what happens.
But
on
if
Twitter.
I'm there and I'm not doing anything, I'm not going to turn anything down for to watch it, but if I'm there and it's on, I'll tune in.
That's true. You can get the best highlights on Twitter and don't miss anything. Yeah, no doubt about it. The Royals, or wait a minute, the Browns made Denzel Ward the top-paid corner in the league with a 5-year, $100.5 million extension, $71 million guaranteed. He's under contract to the 2027 season. Four-season NFL, he's been to the Pro Bowl twice, so that's a big-time move financially by the Browns. Speaking of the Browns, Baker Mayfield, there's some rumors that the Panthers might be interested in Baker Mayfield, and that's about the only spot that's left, that in Seattle, for Baker. The Royals have had 2 days off in a row after having Sunday's game against the Tigers postponed, and then there was an off day yesterday, so the Royals should be well-rested. They'll be taking on the Twins tonight, first of a three-game home series. Royals are 3-5, Twins are 4-6. Carlos Hernandez on the hill. He'll face Chris Archer. Remember Chris Archer used to be like a Cy Young candidate, and he just kind of fell off the earth after a couple of great years with Tampa Bay. First pitch, 7-10 from the K tonight.
Next time the Twins will be in Kansas City.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. May 22nd, Royals bus trip. If you want to go, give us a call, 545-3220. I think we have four seats left. Four seats left. So if you want to go on the Royals bus trip, you better call us quickly. 545-3220. We'll tell you the price and tell you what it all entails. And if you the bus gets filled up, we do have tickets allotted for our sign-up locations. And you can sign up at all kinds of different places in North Central Kansas to be on our bus trip for free. You can sign up in Mankato. This is going to see if I can get it all without a sheet in front of me, Jason.
All right.
Let me show you how it's done. You ready?
Okay. Yeah. We'll see the pro.
What was the first one again?
Mankato.
Mankato Professional Pharmacy in Mankato. Boner Welding and Jewel, you can sign up. You can sign up over at Gerard's Grocery Store in Osborne, Miller Hardware LLC in Downs, Cunningham Telephone Cable in Glen Elder, and in Beloit, you can sign up at Cunningham Telephone Cable downtown Beloit, and also at Dairy Queen on Highway 24. Nailed it!
He is the Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady of our golf match.
Yes, I'm old, and I can I can put it down the fairway, but not as far as Mahomes and Allen, and probably you two as well. How about this last night? To me, it's a little bit bittersweet. Like, as a Braves fan, you're going, you know, we won a World Series. I love Freddie Freeman. Without Freddie Freeman, the Braves don't win a World Series. He was through the horrible times, and then the Braves turned it around. And then during the offseason, the Braves made an offer to him. But actually, before we even got to the offseason, they made an offer to him. Freeman turned it down. And then, you know, Freeman has the right to test free agency. I mean, he'd been with the Braves for 12 years. And the Braves really didn't seriously go after him. Then they traded and got Matt Olson from the A's, who's a younger version of Freddie Freeman, gave him a lot of money. And Freddie Freeman basically had to find another job. And he hooks on with the L.A. Dodgers, who, of course, are a perennial World Series contender. And last night, the Braves and Dodgers played for the first time. And I should have had the cut pulled up here. The Braves and Dodgers played for the first time this year, and I kid you not, you can't make up this story. Freddie Freeman, in his first at-bat against his former team of 12 years, where he hit 271 home runs, five-time All-Star, won an MVP, World Series championship last year, signed a six-year, $162 million deal with the Dodgers in the offseason. In his first at-bat against the Braves as a Dodger in L.A., what did he do?
Bomb.
He hit a home run. It really wasn't a bomb. He got it over the fence, but it was a home run, and it counts. I'm like, you saw the Dodger people all jumping up and down, and I'm thinking, as a Braves fan, how do you feel about this right now? Like, I think part of you got to feel like, I'm happy for the guy because, you know, we didn't really fully go after him in the offseason to keep him. So he had to go somewhere. It stinks that he does it against us, but I don't think there's a lot of Braves fans really mad that he had a home run against them. And I got to thinking, what would be the equivalent? And then to me, the equivalent would be if Salvador Perez, you know, leaves the Royals towards the end of his career, and the Royals don't make a full offer towards him, and Salvi comes back as a member of the, you know, the Cleveland Guardians. All right, he comes in. And he hits a home run, and you'll be bittersweet. You'll be like, oh, man, I really wish we still had Salvi. I wish we would have paid the money. I wish we would have kept him. He should have been a Royal his whole life, just like Freeman should have been a Brave his whole life. And you're like, yeah, but you know what? I mean, that's kind of on us because we didn't really want him that badly. And I think that's how I think a lot of Braves fans will feel, too. There shouldn't be a lot of vile and mad and meanness towards Freddie Freeman, what he did and gave for the Braves for 12 years. But, I mean, that's like out of a movie script. First at bat against your former team, and you hit a jack.
Was it in Atlanta or was it?
It was in L.A. Yeah, it was in L.A. Yeah, in Atlanta, I think he would have got applause.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you go through those things that you can't like.
You'll get a standing ovation first time he's in Atlanta. Eric Hosmer did, and yeah, Mike Moustakas exactly. did. Lorenzo Cain, mm-hmm. he will get that.
All those guys, like even Gerard Dyson, yes. right when he left and came back for the first time with Seattle, like he got a standing ovation.
Greinke
like
got treated pretty well.
Salvador
when he came
Perez
back.
Would be the same deal, oh, right? Yeah. Like. If he ever ends up somewhere else, he'll get a standing ovation. People will yell and cheer if he hits a bomb, you know, right on his first at-bat back in Kansas City.
Probably so.
They'll cheer for it. And I mean, they won't like it if he's playing for the Cleveland Guardians, but, you know, more so if maybe he was playing for the Orioles or somebody like, you know, somebody that's not in the division. But, I mean, if you understand the business side of sports and you understand what that all means and it entails, there's not a single Braves fan that should be mad at Freddie Freeman for anything. At all. Now there's those uneducated fans that don't understand that the Braves didn't really want him.
Right.
So he went to a different team that are just like, oh, he's not, I don't care anymore. Boo Freddie Freeman because he doesn't play for the Braves. Those fans are going to be everywhere, right? Yeah. But if you're educated and understand the sport and understand the business of sports.
If you're a real diehard Braves fan, you understand it. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to be going to a Braves game. We have a basketball tournament in Atlanta this year. So we're going to try to go to Truist Park. It's a new park. It's been up for 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's north. It's not downtown Atlanta. It's actually well north of Atlanta a little ways is what I understand. So I'm looking forward to going. I think they play the Cardinals when we might go, but that'd be cool if we were there and the Dodgers came into town. That'd be cool to be a part of that. They are the defending World Series champions, believe it or not, the Braves. And finally, we were talking yesterday about there's big news that Wichita and Interest Bank Arena was going to release. They announced yesterday at 11 a.m., and if you're a hockey fan and you like the National Hockey League, the NHL, then you have something you should mark on your calendar. NHL fans of Kansas can look forward to the preseason for the upcoming year. On Monday, yesterday, Intrust Bank Arena announced that the St. Louis Blues and the Arizona Coyotes will play an exhibition game in Wichita at Intrust Bank Arena. The two teams will square off on September 24th, so mark down your calendars if you're a big hockey fan and you're like, man, I don't want to drive all the way to St. Louis to watch the Blues. I can't do that. I don't want to drive all the way out to Denver and watch the Avalanche. Well, guess what? There'll be a pro hockey game, NHL, in Wichita, September 24th, this will mark the first time an NHL game has ever been played in Kansas's biggest city. Yes, if you didn't know that already, Wichita is the biggest city in Kansas. It's not Kansas City. It is a technicality. There happens to be a border in Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri. A lot of people get that wrong. Tickets are going to go on sale this Friday. So mark your calendars. If you want to go see professional hockey, yes, it's an exhibition game, but it's still pros playing in Wichita at Interest Bank Arena on September the 24th. So some pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. I probably honestly would rather go to a Thunder game down there because the fan atmosphere will be a little bit different. But if you are an NHL fan and you want to see an NHL game, that's the spot, right? Like it's a great chance to do that. And I'm sure there's plenty of And I'm guessing the Blues are probably trying to expand their footprint by doing this as well. So, but there's probably some St. Louis Blues fans that are in this state that would love to go see that. And like you said, not have to make the trip all the way to St. Louis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great opportunity for hockey fans for sure.
And if you're wondering how good St. Louis is, let me see. I'll pull them up here. I mean, they won the Stanley Cup a few years back. St. Louis.
They've clinched a playoff spot.
They're in the West. They're the number two seed. Colorado's number one seed. I didn't know that. Man, that's awesome. Two nearest NHL teams, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado and St. Louis. Colorado's one in the West, and St. Louis is two. Minnesota's three. That'd be the Midwestern teams. And that's, let's see there. And Then Arizona's having a bad year. I remember that. Yeah, they're the worst team in the league, 22-49. And then there's my beloved Kraken. That's the second worst team in hockey, and their expansion team. Must really stink to be a Coyote fan. Expansion team's still better than you.
I think they're even having a hard time finding a place to play.
Well, yeah, they did. They did have to deal with that, I know, or we're still negotiating that. The only way that it could have been better, Intrust Bank Arena hosting NHL, is if they released the Kraken and let them come here. That's the only way it'd be better. And everybody knows I am the founder and the first member of the Seattle Kraken hockey team. Go ahead. Ask me a name a player. Okay, maybe I'm not the number one member of the Seattle Kraken team, but I do own a couple of shirts, and I think they're pretty cool.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.